65 or 70, because I know people do 80. With you know, the slow people do 80. Everybody else does more than that. It's fast paced when you get on the highways.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't do that on the turnpike, that's for sure. But going out Route 3 on a Sunday morning to Home Depot, I'm in no rush. I think it's 50 miles an hour, because that's the 25 and 50 is the legal speed limits in New Jersey, otherwise posted.
Yeah, I've slowed down considerably as well. Although usually on a Friday when I'm going home, I can certainly put the pedal to the metal.
I just don't like watching the fuel gauge when you put the pedal to the metal.
Sorry about that. Just had a bit of a sneezing spell. I'm coming up to the, I could have sworn I paid $2.59 over here yesterday or the day before. Now it's $2.61. I can't believe it went up.
LU KD2BOR. Yeah, when I was going through Kearney, I was looking at gas prices at $2.59. And when I hit Lyndhurst, I was seeing $2.59. And then I saw the one in Lyndhurst that was $2.47.9. The gas prices vary all over the place.
Yeah, so there's a service station. There's so many different names now. When I go down to Jersey, some of the cheapest ones I see are called Raceway gas or something like that, but I've never heard of them. You know, I don't know if they got gasoline in those tanks or just you know, vodka.
I think I've explained this to you before. Gasoline is gasoline. You've got your cheaper stations, then you got your top tier like Exxon, Mobil, Shell. The difference why you see different prices with Shell compared to some of your Delta or Raceway, like you said, Shell has more additives in their gas. The cheaper gas stations don't have all the additives. It all comes out of the same place now.
Yeah, okay. And the additives, are they good or bad or indifferent?
If you take Shell as one of your top tier, you'll always find them high. They got more injector cleaners in there. You have less chances of getting carbon buildup on your valves. It's a whole long story, but it's different things. You know, there's a reason why one gas station is $2.47.9 and you go up to the end of the road and the other one is still in the 260s and 270s.
Yeah, okay. Now the octane, that doesn't change. Just the additives that you're paying for. Yeah, because I remember I used to hear about gasoline having detergents in it. I didn't know what the hell that was. I guess it cleans your engine.
Yeah, the octane has got to be the octane. But it's all like it's detergent. I forget the early days who, think Mobil, Sunoco, they all used to say high detergent gasoline.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember that. Wow, Jesus, nobody here yet. Usually there's a bunch of cars over here. I wonder what the hell's going on.
Maybe they're closed today and you forgot about it.
Yeah, I wish. No, definitely next week, though. Which will come in handy since I gotta get my son. But I think that that train is like $80 because it's, you know, it's off-peak. If you leave at D.C. like 10 o'clock, somewhere around there, getting in around 3:30. I'll run him home and then head here to work. So that'll work out perfectly. Then he's here till second week or first week of January, maybe January 5th or 7th. He'll go back. Not sure how we're getting him back yet.
What did it cost you in fuel to bring him back down there last time, both ways?
Round trip, probably a little over $100.
Well, that's still a little more than taking the train up one way. It still costs you more to do the train, but you got to look at the aggravation that you went through.
Absolutely, and the you know, 500 plus miles we put on the car, yeah, Yeah, I mean, if we can make it, you know, down there in 4 hours, 5 hours, and back again in 4 or 5 hours, that's not too bad. But this last trip was a nightmare. So I'm glad to put him on a train. And he doesn't mind. He travels well on trains now. He's used to it. Oh, at first he was saying he wanted to take the bus, and that's almost worse than going to pick him up, because then you got to go into Manhattan to get him. And Manhattan this time of the year is a nightmare.
For sure. You wouldn't want to. You at work yet?
Yeah, I'm just finishing up my coffee.
All right, let me say 7-3. I got to road test the car that I got outside and get it in here. Have a good day. Maybe I'll catch you on your way home. If I get any news about that radio, I'll shoot you a text. Have a good day. N1LU, KD2BOR.
All right, very good. You too, Rocky. Talk to you later. KD2BOR, N1LU. Be clear.
W2BOB.
Yeah, good morning. I see it's 9, so I'll let you start. I'm going to stay with RF for right now.
Okay, very good. You're sounding good, nice and strong into the repeater, so it should work. And if there's a change, we'll let you know. Okay, this is W2BOB. We have KC2ZUM with us, and time for the CBS Retiree Net, which meets Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at this hour on this frequency. Any other check-ins for this net coming up?
NY9A.
Okay, good morning, George. NY9A with us. Anyone else?
Connected W2BOB.
Okay, any other check-ins to the net? We're standing by here. Come now, please.
N2NBR.
K
John, good morning to you, and to NBR, anyone else? Where did everybody go? Okay, well, let's get underway, guys. It's nice to take standbys, but that's not the purpose of the net, so we'll give it another try after we go through the list. Anyway, good morning to all. We have 47 degrees here this morning and bright sunshine, and the birds are happily eating from the bird feeder in the backyard. We can keep you that full form. And that's about all the news. I did get a new router from Fios for Verizon, and I'm going to have to see how I go about installing that. I didn't ask for it, they just sent it, because I did upgrade to 50 up and 50 down megabits per second. And I see the speed difference when you run speed test, speakeasy rather, the speed test. It showed me I'm getting more than 60 up and about 60 down, so I have no complaint about that. Okay. With that, we have KC2ZUM, Alan, who's also on Echo Link, as I am. NY9A, George, and then 2NBR. One more try. Any other check-ins for the net? Come now. Okay, nothing heard again, so over to you, Alan. KC2ZUM, W2BOB.
Thank you. W2BOB, KC2ZUM. Good morning, George, and good morning, John. There. Not sure what the temperature is up here. I haven't looked at it yet, but I was out this morning. It was very cold. With on the ground, the snow that's left, and it was melting a little bit yesterday is ice, so I've got to say it must be in at least in the 30s somewhere there. I think we have rain on the way coming up for the weekend, so that should be interesting to see how that plays out with the cold temperature there. So I'll make this first transmission short and send it back over to you, Bob, W2BOB, KC2ZUM. Not that we have a long list, it's just it's kind of short this morning. But anyway, I'll send it back over to you, W2BOB, KC2ZUM.
W2BOB, AC2T, in and out, Bob. I got a phone call coming in, I'll be on it for a while. So just put me in and out, AC2T.
Okay, very good, Paul. You're on the payroll. In and out. Okay, anyway, good luck. AC2T, W2BOB. Well, when we go through the list again, we'll give you a shout if you're not there with no line. Okay, NY9A, George, your turn, W2BOV with the next.
Well, good morning, everyone. And W2BOB in the group, NY9A. I'm going to keep it short and sweet as well, although I'm not leaving for a while, that's for sure. Got to go see the doctor today. He wanted to check me out after that last bout of hospitalization, but I don't think it's going to amount to anything. I just have a chance to get out with my honey, go to see kindly old Dr. Shinnick. But, hey, everything is beautiful. I'm just looking at the last remnants of sun that seem to be coming in here and saying, why do we have to have a rainy weekend? Please, Mother Nature, how could you treat your children like this? Anyway, back to you, Bob. W2BOB in the group, NY9A.
Okay, very good, George. NY9A, W2BOB. Yes, well, CBS retiring said, my headset was falling off. Okay, N2NBR, John, your turn next for the next W2BOB here.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Let me just turn a few volumes down here. I got, I can't run power and leave the TV on at the same time. Okay, that's more better, as the English major would say. Let's see, what do we got here? Weather, okay, 32 degrees, right at the freezing mark. and we got 67% humidity, and I think we're scheduled for a little bit of rain, maybe. It's a definite maybe for, you know, one of those predictions, depends which computer you believe. And what else we got here? No, that's about it. Barometric pressure is 30.51 and steady. And that's about it for the weather up here. It's a dingy-looking sky, patchy sort of looking, I guess. Could turn into a snow sky later. Hard to tell. Anyway, sorry I didn't make it yesterday, Bob, on the 20 meters. I really wanted to, but my principal object of mission control operation was signing up for a new medical arrangement. I'm giving up on United Healthcare, and I'm going with Aetna. They're more expensive, but they seem to be more thorough about their coverage. As you know, you can't really tell until something happens as to whether or not you're happy with their coverage. On several levels, it was the treatment I got from the AARP group. The biggest part, let me let this drop. The biggest problem I had was that they positively would not accept payment from Citibank. You know, the bill payer type thing. You know, I pay my bills, you know, wherever they may be, with Citibank, and nobody has ever given me a problem except them, you know, over the last however many years they've had that system in effect. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back for me on that group. Even though, again, as I say, they are cheaper, but you pay for the cheapness, I guess. Anyhow, got a few catalogs I can talk about in the mail the other day. Of course, the mail these days is getting incredible, both email as well as paper mail. And somebody said, "Oh, can we send you something on the email?" I said, "No, I've got 1,000 other emails I got to read first. You got to stand in line." So it has become a useless proposition, because meaning emails, because there's too much of it, and you don't have time to look at it, you know, as is often the case with me. Back to you, Bob. W2BOB in the group, N2NBR.
Okay, John. N2NBR, W2BOB, and the CBS retirees. Well, that's too bad about the insurance. I have United Healthcare. And when I was hospitalized 2 years ago, there was one thing they didn't cover, and it cost me $1,000. So I was not too happy about that. But they said they'd add it to my out-of-pocket expenses. But that was, we were already into this year, I think. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, I know what you're talking about. And I just received a notice last month that the plan I'm in is switching from Express Scripts for prescriptions over to CVS. So it'll make it more convenient if I need something quick to go to one of the CVS's here that I already use. But CVS decided they're not going to employ the services of Express Scripts anymore. So. And of course, it had been Medco, then it turned into Express Scripts, and now it'll be CVS. So. I just hope it doesn't affect renewals of prescriptions, because that can be a real hassle. Okay, so much for medical plans. Anyway. By the way, I did want to mention, we got an oil delivery last week, and the price of oil has dropped over $1 a gallon, which is good. So, and of course, gasoline, and locally here, the service station I use frequently, it's down to $2.97, so that's not too bad. Okay. All right, but with that, let's see if we have any other check-ins. This is the CBS retiree stat. We're standing by.
82CYX. Morning, all.
Okay, good morning, buddy. KD2CYX, good to hear you. We were wondering if we're going to have any other participants, because there were only four of us. So you make five. That's great. Anyone else for this, please come now. Nothing there, so Vinny, go ahead, make a transmission for us. KD2CYX, W2BOB.
W2BOB, KD2CYX. Good morning, everybody. I got preoccupied with something else, and I realized, oh boy, look at the time. And I ran up here to turn on my radio, and here I am. Not much has happened since the last time, since Wednesday, but... tonight I'm going to a concert to see James Taylor. My son bought us tickets. That's our Christmas gift. And so we're going to Madison Square Garden to see him. I've never seen him in concert. He was one of my favorites back in the day. But anyway, I'm looking forward to it, my wife and I. So it looks like a great day today. Cloudy, but nice. Little brisk out there, and everything else is the same. So with that, I'll send it back to you, Bob. W2BOB, KD2CYX.
Okay, very good, and that sounds like a nice application there to go see James Taylor. Very good. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. And it's my favorite crowd, so. Alrighty, with that, AC2T, if you happen to be available, I know you said you were busy with a phone call, but we'll pause here in case you want to make another transmission call. Over to you if you're there. Okay, nothing heard, so back to the top it goes. KC2ZUM, W2BOV, CBS Retirees Net.
W2BOV, KC2ZUM. And good morning there. To Paul, please still able to listen, and to Vinny, and John, I'm kidding, yeah, I think I used to one for John there. Vinny, that's good for you there, James Taylor there, I hope he's going to sing Fire and Rain. That's going to be a good concert. He's a good singer, and that is great, he's still going. A lot of these guys from the 60s and 70s are still going, and that's good. Hope you enjoy that concert there. And I wanted to say to, let me see, am I coming through? Yeah, okay. John, I'm just curious, when you said that your insurance wouldn't take Citibank, I'm wondering when you put them on your vendor list, did it refuse, did it not have a default address? Were you able to... cheat the vendor list and put in, because sometimes what I find, if you type in the address a little differently, or you add something or whatever, or even add a period in the name of the vendor, it'll allow you to do it. Or was it just a situation where they would not take anything from Citibank throughout our ABA? Because I've been dealing with Citibank myself for over 40 years, online banking, and never had a problem with them in terms of taking a vendor. So I'm just curious, was it the vendor list or what? That's pretty interesting. And also I want to say, they've been getting a little crazy lately anyway, Citibank. They're doing some changes that's not really in the best interest of their customers. So with that, let me send it back over to Bob, W2BOB, KC2, ZUM.
Okay, Alan, very good, and someone was just bringing in the recycle box, and it is recycle day, and it's empty, of course, because they picked it up. Anyway, I did want to mention, for those who might be interested, we are totally fascinated by the National Geographic TV channel. They are having another live broadcast from the Kruger Game Farm
in South Africa, which they did the past couple of days that we watched, and I think it's on now. It starts, well, it's afternoon over there, late afternoon, and then, of course, it changes to nighttime. But at any rate, they have a group of jeeps that have guys in them who are commentating the whole time they drive through the park, and they are following animal tracks. So throughout the Sambi Sand Game Preserve, and it's all live. Live in the full color and full HD. It's just the thought of doing that from a broadcasting standpoint is very interesting. Obviously, they are linking up to a satellite, and it's being retransmitted back, but very, very interesting. So if you get the National Geographic channel, I suggest you tune in this morning because it's on now, or beginning now, and it'll be on the next 2 days, I understand. But we've been watching it and have been mesmerized by the whole program. So interesting. A little difficult to understand these guys as they drive and talk and turn around and look into the camera behind them. But to see the hyenas and the elephants and the antelope and whatever other animals they come across, I think yesterday they were on the hunt for tigers. So, but I strongly recommend viewing the National Geographic channel. Okay, NY9A, W2BLB with group.
With lions and tigers and bears, oh my. That sounds like fun, Bob. W2BOB and the group, NY9A. First of all, I do want to hearken back to the earlier conversation about email, which has gone from a great in discovery into a complete travesty, thanks to people overloading it with absolute garbage. And what I would really like to have is an automatic garbage discriminator, which would enable me to filter out the crap coming in on the inlet side, because once it's in your email box, you got to read it to find out whether or not it's crap or whether it's just another or an important message. And I think it's a dreadful travesty. Anyway, enough of that. And the times that I have spent on the National Geographic channel have been very rewarding indeed, I must say. So I'll certainly look into that. Nice things going on this morning. It's really a delight to hear this. Last night we watched Peter Pan, which is the first time I think I've seen a production of that quality on a major TV network. God, what's happening to us? I mean, are we going back into a new golden age of television here? W2BOB in the group, NY9A.
Okay, NY9A, W2BOB with CBSNet. And yes, we are. To answer your question. We watched most of it. For my taste, it was just a little bit too much theater involved, and it would have been good on Broadway, but the technical aspects of the whole thing were very interesting. Quite frankly, my wife and I both agreed that this Williams was not very much in the original Peter Pan, but it was very well done. And of course, you know, it was done at Grumman, which I respect because I got my advanced and my extra class licenses with the Grumman Amateur Radio Club, which is right next to the plant. So, and that's only about 9 or 10 miles from here. So a modern technological achievement, to be sure.
but I don't know. You know, we've been commending Broadway plays, and that's immediately what I associated the broadcast with. And I don't know, just something did not click. But this is the second one they did from there. They did My Fair Lady last year. And it probably takes a year to produce something like that for television. So. But it was very well done. So, all right. And about email, George. We are all afflicted with the same burden of spam, basically. And whenever I do filter my stuff and that comes in my emails, and a lot of it just is automatically selected as spam. Some things that you don't want to be in the spam box. I'm getting the frog in the throat here, so. It does filter messages that are sent to multiple users, for the most part, which is good. And if you don't want to look at the spam box, then you don't have to. It automatically erases everything in 30 days. Okay, N2NBR, you're next. W2BOB with CBSN.
Okay, Bob. W2BOB and the CBSNet. This is N2NPR. To clarify my Citibank thing, Alan, they will accept payment instructions, but they will not, and Blue Cross does, or United rather, does not, I forget which is which now, they will not accept electronic transmissions via your bill payment system. In other words, Citibank will accept a command to pay somebody, you know, on the computer. And nowadays, in my experience, it's about 90% will accept the computerized version. However, my old medical people would not accept electronic transmissions unless they came directly at their behest out of your savings account or your checking account. And I have a philosophy. Nobody gets that information unless it's absolutely necessary, given this, the world today. So as a result, they send out a letter, okay? So snail mail is now 4 to 7 days, and then that generates the time it takes the medical people to process that is another week. So now you're 2 weeks behind in paying a bill that should have been paid in 2 hours from your instruction time, and that's why I dropped them. Back to you, W2BOB and the group N2NBR.
Okay, John, N2NBR, W2BOB, the CBS test, and, well, that's a good reason to drop them, I guess. But, I don't use any of those automatic payment systems or anything else, and, I do, if I need to pay something occasionally, I would use it. But, of course, I have control over it because I'm authorizing just that particular bill to be paid. Okay, moving right along. Vinny, your turn again. KD2CYX, W2BOB. Go ahead.
W2BOB in the group, KD2CYX. Yeah, George, you bring up a good point about email. Another aspect of it that I found over the years is that people abuse it, and instead of I guess it was just designed to send a quick note to somebody and let them know the answer to you're coming to the party, yes or no, things like that. But in business now people put a whole dissertation on there. And it really bogs down the systems. I know the tech people where I used to work used to go crazy because some people used to write these long emails for no reason. I guess you could have done it with an attachment, or you know, that personal touch is no longer there, where we send a written note or a letter. I don't know if people do that anymore. Do they write letters? Ronald Reagan was big on that. He loved writing letters and having pen pals, etc. And many other people over the years. But I guess today everything is email. Email this and email that. Even emailing greeting cards and birthday wishes, etc. Very impersonal, in my opinion. So, but that's the way of the world today. So, but I'll send it back to you, Bob, W2BOB, and the group, KD2CYX.
Okay, Betty. By the way, did you get any more information about the spider antenna?
Yeah, I did. I looked into it a little bit, and I feel I'm gonna go with the dipole. The spider, maybe at a time in the future, I may go for a vertical. I think I'm gonna stick with the, based on all the information a lot of people gave me. Paul was very, very good and gave me some good information on it too. So I'm gonna go with the with dipole. Just a matter of getting it up and getting the slingshot to get over the tree and make sure I don't hit any other houses. So I'm going in that direction. Back to you, Bob.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I think you'll do pretty well with the dipole, and I always have. I've used wire antennas on HF exclusively, never had any other kind. Although I do have a beam in the garage that I never assembled. But at any rate, I think that'll work for you. Paul must have mentioned to you that if you do have a vertical antenna, the noise level, the ambient noise level on any frequency is increased drastically. So that can make a difference between having a contact or not because of unwanted noise. So that's another reason dipoles are much more quiet. Okay, with that, let's see if Paul might be available. HE2C, if you're there, we're standing by. Okay, well, nothing heard. So are there any other check-ins for this set? We're W2BOB here, and we're looking for other check-ins at this point. Coming out.
AA2WP.
Okay, Wally P, AA2WP, very good. You're a little bit weak into the repeater, but go ahead, make your transmission, Bill. Over.
W2BOB in the group, AA2WP. Yeah, I'm between missions, so to speak. So I just wanted to pop in and say hi, and I'll pass on my 73s, and hope to be on board on Monday. W2BOB, AA2WP.
Hey, very good. Well, thanks for checking in, and it's always a pleasure to have you with us. So we'll look for you next week. AA2WP. Anyone else from the net, come now. Okay, nothing heard, so we'll continue along with our present rotation here. And we had a good 20-meter contacts this week with our broadcasters, and it worked out okay. A lot of interesting things. We're talking about radio programs that we used to listen to when we were children. And what brought that up, W4BAY mentioned that he had a copy of a shadow program. And he was wondering if anyone else remembers the shadow, which we all did. And who the actor was. There were several of them that plays the role of the shadow himself, so that kept things going, and boy, it brought back a lot of memories to me, because in the 1940s, the middle 1940s, about 47, 48, I guess, one of my aunts took me to New York City to see the broadcast of the shadow at a theater, I think it was on 43rd Street on the west side in Manhattan. And I was thrilled. It was terrific. They must have had about 300 people in the audience. And the only disillusionment I had was when the shadow, disappeared, I thought he would really disappear and all you would hear would be his voice. Well, it came that point that the actor who played the shadow took his script, walked away from the microphone, opened the door of what looked like a telephone booth and went inside, and all of a sudden we heard the voice, the filtered voice of the shadow. So that was how he disappeared. But and then yesterday the question was raised, if you listen to Superman on the radio, do you know who the actor was that originally that played Superman? So I'm going to leave that open, see if anybody remembers who that might have been. It was a very famous broadcaster. Okay, with that, back to Alan. KC2ZUM, W2BOB.
W2BOB, KC2ZUM. And good morning to Willie P., if he's still listening there. In reference to the thing with the emails, emails thing has gotten out of control. It's kind of crazy. Texting the whole bit, you know, it is what it is today. But I have to say that when I was in law school there, we used it sometimes to communicating with other students and professors, and with an attachment, it was a good quick way sometimes to turn in a paper or something like that, or the school would basically keep in touch with us on assignments, or in beginning of semesters, it was a way of getting information on your classes in terms of a book list and all of that. But because you would required to get a lot of material before actually the classes started, because on day one they went right into the meat of the subjects and whatnot. But writing is very interesting though, because in communicating with your professors and other fellow students, it was a good way of keeping in contact. And let me drop. But what was very impressive was, I remember a few professors saying, including my mentor, one of the problems today with the computers and emails and everything is that it takes away from the students' ability to really learn how to write. And a good part of law is communicating with other attorneys and the courts and everything. And the biggest problem, a lot of students coming out of different law schools all over the country, is the ability to be able to write. And that's a major problem, because when you're interning or externing anywhere, you're given assignments, and a lot of times you're expected to turn in assignments that may not have to be corrected, maybe just quickly proofread or whatever. But the writing skills is lacked, because when we were coming up, we would write the old-fashioned way with pencil, pen, and paper, or pad, or loose leaf paper, and you made your corrections, and you pulled out your dictionary, and you did your erasing, whatever, and you used a typewriter, which some people don't know what that is today. Today, with the spell check and everything else, you don't have to learn anything. You get an essay or an assignment, you do it at the last minute, turn on the spell check and print it out, turn it in, and maybe if you're asked what you wrote about, you're lucky if you get somebody that can answer it. So it kind of hinders good communication skills today. And will you drop one more time? And when I was still working in broadcasting, I found that to be a problem even with management. Everybody wants to just text and email instead of facing a person, looking, you know, looking in their eyes and having a conversation. I just thought it very interesting how management, the rest of the company, between sales and news and operations, it's all about texting and emailing. And I just thought it would be really kind of funny, but kind of sad, actually. And sometimes I still like to use a typewriter. And I got to say, and Bob, I know you know, if you know him personally, but Marvin Scott, who's still there in Dixon, I've known him a lot of years, you know, working there at the station. I remember he was one, and working on his stories, that always used a typewriter. And I used to watch him sometimes, and I was on a night shift, and he would come in early to work on a story. It was just amazing to watch him in his office using the typewriter and sometimes using that little the whiteout of that little eraser. Of course, anything, you know, it would have to be transferred over, you know, to be ingested into the system. But it was just amazing to watch him use a typewriter with passion. And you don't see too many reporters doing that these days. W2BLB, KC2VUM. And John, thanks for your response on the Citibank thing there.
Okay, KC2ZUM, W2BOB with the CBS retirees. Yeah, well, on WCBS radio, of course, when I started in 1967, the writers in the news department were all using regular typewriters, and of course, by the 80s, I guess, they were moving over to computers. So that's... They were good typists and wrote good stories, that's for sure. Okay, NY9A next. George, your turn, I guess, with the net, W2BOB. Go ahead, George.
Thank you, Bob. Very interesting discussion this morning. I have just a couple of things. The first is that over the years, having made my living as a writer, I was amazed to see the quality of published work deteriorate for the simple reason that editors started having junior editors who used spell checkers. And I found, you know, I used to meticulously read and edit my own work before submitting it. But if they had to cut it a little bit to make room for an ad, usually the junior editors would run it through a spell checker. And I found homonyms and other things, inappropriate words creeping into my copy. I brought this to an editor's attention, I'll never forget, Jill Ruoff. Oh, what a bitch. And basically, she ripped me up one side and down the other for having had the effrontery to criticize her girls. Oh, my God. What an idiot. Anyway, he's gone. American Printer is gone. I mean, a lot of other publications are gone. And who knows that they were not hurried alongside to their death by incompetence. I can understand anybody wishing to use a typewriter. I mean, the rhythm of it is unimaginable. And when you consider that it carries such rhythm and muscular activity into your brainstem, hey, it's got to be very satisfying. I'll say more about that sometime in the future. Last thing I think I was about to say, I've forgotten. So, mercifully for you, I will now offer my 73 because it's 9:44, and say it's been a wonderful experience being with you this morning. NY9A is going to be clear and QRT after your finals.
Now go ahead.
Okay, I just want to say to George, and although I still like to use a typewriter sometimes, I'm not talking about the electric ones. I'm talking about the good old-fashioned manual ones. My grandfather had an old Olivetti, and still have it. back to net.
Okay, very good, Alan. I owned an Alma Eddie at one point in time, and yes, very good typewriter. So, okay, with that, George gave his 73. George, before we wrap it up, do you know who played the role of Superman on the radio?
Yeah, I can hear his voice in my mind, but offhand. It wasn't the guy who also played the Lone Ranger, was it?
Bud Collier, KB2DPD.
You can't beat Jerry.
Back door altogether, but yeah. Hi, Jerry. Bud Collier is correct. So. Okay, moving right along, let's go to N2NBR, W2BOV, 73 time, John. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, do you remember the W2BOB in the group N2NBR? If anybody remembers the name of the actor who played it on TV, that was, considered himself typecast, and he decided to check out, so to speak. So, and also, in terms of letter writing, I find myself challenged, not because... you know, I did major in English in school, but the other thing is that the problem was when I was in high school, I did not take typing class very seriously because nobody, you know, back in those days, nobody even dreamed the skill of typing would be what it is, what necessitates your skills and the production thereof and how important it would become. But so to that degree, I regret not paying attention in typing class. But now I have, tried to pick up on that slack. I'm not as fast as I should be, but I still hunt and peck and stuff like that. I'm not a accomplished touch typist at all. So anyway, 7-3 all around. I'll be listening out. And Alan, also, if you get a chance, I would like to know if you can point me in the direction of that. Phraseology and that it absolves us hams from receiving, frequencies that police departments have or have access to. It depends. And I'll put in and see what happens. With that, I'll say 7-3, everybody, and I'll be listening out. W2BOB in the group, N2NBR.
Okay, John. Alan, do you have a response for his request? I know he asked you once before, I think last week, about that. Over.
Yes, N2NBR, KC2ZUM. John, send me your email. You can email me at kc2zum@arrl.net, and then I can, once I get the email from you, then I'll, I gotta pull that. I printed out or made a file for people there, and then I can get that ready and email the file to you as a file attachment, as a PDF file. Copy?
Okay, kc2zum@arrl.net.
That's affirmative.
Okay, we'll try that. Thanks, Bob.
Okay, John. Alan had sent that out, I think, earlier this year to those of us who were interested at that time. I don't know why you didn't mention it then, but anyway, he's very good at that. Okay, let's go to AD2CYX next for 73. Is ready. Over to you.
W2BOB in the group, KD2CYX. Very interesting discussions this morning, especially George bringing up writing and all. I think writing is so important. It's always been important, you know, for communication purposes. And I think that I've always enjoyed someone who could write well. Unfortunately, I'm not one of those people that that's good. But I always admired, and I've gotten better over the years. That's for sure. I always tell my kids, when they were in school, that you know, writing is very important. Although when you're in school, you know, nothing's really important except going out and playing, and then as you get older, girls and that kind of thing. But when you get into the business world, you realize that writing is way up there, and you know, you should be proficient at it. And I used to tell them that when they're writing, they should write not in black and white, you know, like your old TV was, but in color. And what I meant by that was that they should be using more adjectives, more, you know, really getting into a story, really getting into something that they're writing about, so that people look at it and say, wow, yeah, I know exactly what he means. I can visualize it. You know, when you write in black and white, it's like, yeah, okay, well, you know, the interest is not there. But in Technicolor, bingo, it comes right out at you. Anyway, in typing class, John brought up that point. I remember when I took typing, the only reason why I took typing was because it was mostly girls in the class. And my friend and I decided we were going to take typing. But I'll tell you, that was one of the best classes I ever took, because I never forgot, you know, where all the keys were. And now that we're using PCs, now that we're using PCs, of course, we're using typing all the time, and it's really come in very handy, and I've gotten better with it over the years. So, anyway, but very good discussions today, and I'll send it back to you, and 73s to all. Have a wonderful day and a great weekend. Back to you, Bob, W2BOB, KD2CYX.
Contact.
Go ahead, George.
Bob, I missed a point, and although Vinny just brought up so many excellent points, we could carry on for another hour with what he has distributed here, but I missed a point earlier, and I heard you say that Grumman has been made into some sort of a production shop. Boy, I never knew that. I mean, I used to work there as an avionics technical writer many years ago. Could you just elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes, George. They converted hangars over to TV studios. I don't know the name of the company that's doing it, but they are closely associated with NBC, of course, which broadcasts the production that they are doing there. So it's the same facility in Bethpage, Long Island, where they used to build the F-4s and Corsairs and almost good World War II fighter planes, George.
Oh, thanks, Bob. I'm going to have to look into that. NY9A, 73 to all.
I think I read somewhere a while ago that they are giving tours to the general public to see the facility. But it's very complex as far as modern technology is concerned. I mean, especially when you have a live production and the actors are being lifted around and flying around on stage. Takes a lot of skill. I don't know what their workforce is, but I presume they hire a lot of people. I think I read they were using something like 37 or 40 cameras. And most of it is computer controlled. The stages themselves, if they revolve or move or anything, are all computer controlled. So somebody has a mouse somewhere that is dictating exactly how it all works. But it's a very modern television facility. If they're only doing one production a year, I don't see how they can afford to exist. But obviously they are, so there you go. Okay, we've gone through our list with that. Back, Alan didn't give us 73, so KC2ZUM, 73 time, W2BOB with the CBS net.
W2BOB, KC2ZUM. George, I just want to tell you, it's a modern version of Kaufman Astoria Studios. No facilities out there off of 106, 107. I think Broadway is one of the streets. They're not too far down the road from W&W Manufacturing. manufacturing. It makes the batteries for a lot of the HTs and stuff like that. A very nice facility, and they've been doing some movies there. It's much more modern than Kaufman, if you're familiar with Kaufman Studios. And